All right, our text this evening is Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 through 18. I'll give you time to turn there. But for several weeks, the prophets have been coming and going at my house as one reads the scripture. Time and space seems to fall away. And another ancient society comes into view, another world. Surprisingly, one is shocked, I'm shocked to discover how relevant these old prophets still are. Even though they are separated from us by thousands of years and speak of a world that's on the other side of the planet from us. We think of ourselves as being different and superior to the people of ancient Israel. We think scientific sophistication and our cultural savviness sets us apart from the old world of the Middle East and the 12 tribes of ancient Israel. Yet, as I take up the words of the prophets, a kind of mist dissolves, a mist I didn't realize was there. The modern conceit that clouds the minds of the citizens of the 20th century dissipates and clears away. Left standing there, I see in plain sight a modern man who needs help to make sense of life, who struggles with the voice deep down in his heart that says there must be more to life than this. An emptiness of soul that modern man feels as he goes about his life. The prophets speak to all this. I'm amazed when the prophets, seemingly so distant, when I read them, help us in the midst of our modern struggles as we struggle with just living and making sense of it all. Do any of y'all ever struggle with making sense of it? So here we are with today's text. Let me read it. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you will be swift. On 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee in the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop, as a signal on a hill. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he exalts himself to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who wait for him. So what does this text say to us this evening? We have just broken abruptly into the middle of the prophet's words. And by the way, that's how we're going to handle the prophets. I'm just going to go here and there. So we just break in on the prophet speaking to Judah. The nation of Judah faced an invasion force of the Assyrian army. Y'all all know the story. That army swept over the entire country, conquering all of Judah's national defenses. Fortified cities had fallen before them. Ancient Judah trembled. I thought of this afternoon when I still had my wits about me. All those mighty fortresses that David and Solomon built in his day, Assyria swept through and got them all until Jerusalem was surrounded. And Judah trembled. As we look at the prophet's words, I'd like to do two things at once. Keep two plates spinning at the same time. You remember the circus performers? Y'all remember circus performers? They put a plate on the pole and put a plate on another pole, and he spins this one, and he picks up another one, he spins that. And so tonight we're going to try to do two things at once. First of all, what Isaiah's words meant to the nation, and secondly, what the words mean to us personally today in 2020, that wonderful year of 2020. These two things are joined right together, where they're joined at the hip, as it were. Both are relevant as we read Isaiah. We first think of what these words meant to the people of Judea. And secondly, what they mean to us. So we have these spinning plates. So here's Judah's national problem. The country is in trouble. Our national defenses, they say to themselves, are insufficient to protect us. What do we do, they ask. And here's our problem today. Our lives are a wreck. Our country seems to be a wreck. Everything, life, the world I live in, is falling apart. What can I do about it? What to do, we ask. Does your life ever appear to be a wreck? Y'all got it together? I don't. So what to do, we ask. A whole set of answers are forthcoming. In ancient Judah's case, let's go down to Egypt for help, they said. That's the answer. Answers present themselves to us as well. Lots of answers are forthcoming. Popular culture can fill our sense of emptiness and trouble. Movies stream right into our home. I may never go to a movie theater again. What a gift, we think. That'll calm me down. That'll fill my soul. Sports are finally back. I can watch the Tour de France, that famous bicycle race. I can watch a soccer game, football, basketball, baseball, golf, and tennis. We are like cats playing with a ball of yarn. That'll entertain us. I really believe sports are such a useful distraction. Nothing wrong in them in themselves. How about just a bit of plain fun? Get out of the house and do something fun. That'll fill up the empty space. Eat and drink and be merry. Or how about a project or two? Have y'all ever had projects? You ever say, I think I'll do something. I'm going to fix that creaky door. I'm going to put new hardwood floors in my house. Maybe that'll fill the empty spot. Build a new flower bed. Or maybe even better, how about some self-improvement scheme? Something you read about on Facebook. I don't know what those people do. They sit, square-legged on the floor and they do this. What is that? I meant to look it up. I got distracted this afternoon. What are yoga people? What's that mean? Anybody know? It's something. Maybe some self-help would fix us. Listen, the trouble in my life, I've been struggling with, how old am I? I don't think I'm going to dig my way out. It's been too long. Self-help will not fix humankind's problems. How about this? I think I'll bear down at work. Make some money. I'll make a success of myself. I'll have a career. I'll do something. Or to put it as the ancient Israelites did, Let's go down to Egypt. But this is where the prophets in Isaiah is wonderfully helpful. No, not just helpful. What they say is critically important. Look at verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. In the face of the people's trouble in Isaiah's day, he basically just said, don't go to Egypt. Return to me, rest in me, and you shall be saved. Now, good old Luther, we've been talking about Luther, so we'll quote Luther here. Luther said about these verses, if you will sit down and be quiet, he could be so rough and tumble. If you will sit down and be quiet, you will be saved. Don't lose heart. Wait until the storm blows over. Keep still. This is a marvelous victory to conquer one's enemies by sitting and waiting. Who but God would do that? And then he says this, meanwhile, the flesh runs and toils and looks every direction for help. But Isaiah said, don't go to Egypt. This is the advice the prophet gave as they faced the advancing Assyrian army. This is the advice that Luther gave in his day. And this is the advice that the prophet gives us in our day as we face our troubled soul in modern problems. Return to God, as the scripture says. Rest in Him. Your rest in Him will be your strength in the face of it all. I'm telling you, each generation of mankind thinks of themselves and their problems as being modern, intractable, and unique. Aren't we just unique? We're so different from everybody else. No, we're not. But to each generation, even down to us, the prophet says, return to me, rest your soul in me, and be saved. In quietness and in trust is your strength. Don't faithlessly, and I say that carefully, don't faithlessly go down to Egypt. Notice what says the prophet says at the end of verse 15 and down and into verse 17. But you are not willing. Ancient Judah did in fact go to Egypt for aid, but received no help at all from Egypt. Rather, it was otherwise. Did you know that Assyria found out that Israel went to Egypt and it made the Assyrians even more angry? Prophet says you'll be left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, a signal on a hill. Going down to Egypt made things worse for Judah. Isn't that a vivid imagery? This hill with just a little old flag up there. That's all was left, it seeming, was left of Israel as the Assyrian armies surrounded them. In fact, the more the nation fled from their God and turned to their own resources for help, selling their national treasures, giving gold from their temple as tribute to foreign kings and empires, the more precarious their predicament came. We today exchange gold for brass, and we're diminished. The book you have in your lap is full of help. As God's people struggled for solutions to their problems, God waited. Look what it says in verse 18. Therefore, the Lord God longs to be gracious to you. And Luther continues and said, God is still waiting to be gracious to us and not destroy us. He is long-suffering. He exalts himself in his own patience. He promises mercy and is not injured beyond measure because of your sin. Isn't that good? He is not injured beyond measure by your sin. Luther goes on even further and says, no ungodly man can have this experience in this with this delay. The godly man always fixes a time and place for God beforehand. And beyond that point, they forsake God. We'll trust him so far. And after that, Egypt. Luther says, the godly man waits for God even when God, now listen, takes his time. Let us wait for God and we shall be blessed, as the prophet puts it, Luther says. Now, waiting for God is indeed a challenge. How long will we wait for him? The church in the Dark Ages waited for God for hundreds of years, suffering under false teaching, false doctrine in the Catholic Church that became increasingly corrupt. But then, all of a sudden, Luther appears. Was God too late? To some, it seems so. I think old John Hus probably thought he was. But John died in faith, trusting in his God. Lee Beth and I were there in that plaza and saw the place where they burned him alive. But God wasn't late. Will it be worth it to have spent our life waiting and hoping in God? Will it? To spend our whole life waiting and hoping in Him. It will be. In the end, we, the readers of Isaiah, find that God came to Judah's. We find that God came to Judah's aid. We today experience the same mercy when we cease from struggle and put our faith in Him. We turn from all the things which we seek to fight off our leanness of soul. We Westerners do not necessarily face political enemies as Judah did. But the Christians alive in the earth today, mostly in Africa and Asia, Christians there wait upon God in the face of enemies that threaten their very lives. They, like Daniel of old, in the lion's den and with his friends, in the furnace, face certain death, but in quietness and in trust, they exhibit strength. In quietness and trust, they experience God's strength. Christians alive today, you and I have the opportunity of proving what the psalmist said. That famous verse, it's one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, and the least used. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's a glorious verse. I know someone that I love with all my heart. They're dead now. This verse saved her life. Saved her life. Be still and know that I am God. The prophet amazingly points off to God Himself. He is gracious. He shows mercy. He is just. Do you know God is just? All the lies that so break our hearts will be answered. All the injustice, when truth perishes in the street, God will deal with it. He is just, He is holy, He watches over His own. This will never change. We can be assured in our day, the Holy One of Israel says to us, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. That is such a gift. Just simple. Repentance is just turning to God. Each day, when we look up, Lord, give it to us to just look up and turn to God. In repentance and rest, you shall be saved. Though that rest, I'm telling you, that one long minute when we get control of it and we say, no, right here, I'm staying right here. This is a marvelous promise. I tell you, the mist and fog of our day clears away as the words take hold of our soul. He waits to show us kindness and mercy. Then what a glory we have an opportunity to wait for Him. As someone has once said, blessed are those who meet His waiting with our own waiting. God seemingly tarries long and takes His time. But our verse says, God, how blessed are those who wait for Him. Or I think it says long for Him in some versions. God is a God of justice, righteousness, and goodness. Now later in chapter 30 of Isaiah, down in chapter 30 of Isaiah, God promises that we will have songs as in the night when keeping the festival, gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. God is never late. Even though it may appear, He takes His time, as Luther says. We today, just like the saints of old, have a great opportunity to display our faith in God's mercy and goodness. Now, let me just stop right here. The brief moments of our life are the only time in our eternal existence that we will be able to walk by faith. Sight is soon coming. We only can walk by faith right now. What an opportunity. They're brief days. You give such glory when you trust Him when not seeing. You give Him such glory. Hezekiah and the people finally come around and they put their hope and future in God's hands. And did God come to their aid? Oh, He did. As ancient Israel ultimately demonstrated faith and hope in God, we too can know the blessing of doing the same. Sometimes God's asked nothing of us except being still and knowing that He is God. Now that isn't much. I mean this with all my heart. Just being still and acknowledging Him as God isn't much that He asks from us. It's a tiny thing. Simply turning towards Him and resting on Him is all that we must do to give Him glory. Anyone of us is capable of doing this. Such a simple calling. In repentance and rest, wait on our God. In quietness and trust will be our strength. All right, let's pray. Father, of all people, I need these words, your words. And each one of us, Lord, give it to us to rein our hearts in and bring ourselves to a standing stop. And be still. And know that you are God. Father, give us quietness and trust. Give us the strength that these things endue us with. Father, make it where we could smile at our enemies. Smile at our new at the newscast. Smile at all the trouble and woe. Give it to us to rest and wait on you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.